listening to the Week Ahead podcast from Strong Towns, hosted by me, Rachel Quedno. This is your chance to catch up on the latest events and goings-on behind the scenes of the Strong Towns organization. Tune in every Monday for more updates. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Week Ahead podcast. I'm your host, Rachel, and today I have with me Chuck Marone, president of Strong Towns. This is our first podcast of 2018, so that's pretty exciting. Chuck, how was your break? How was your holiday?
Fantastic. It's been kind of cold here. I know it's been cold everywhere in the country. I had someone, I think Bo, or one of our coworkers, said, oh, it got down to like 35 degrees here, and I thought it was so cold, so I checked where you're at, and it was minus 22.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was really looking forward to doing a lot of outdoor stuff with my kids over break. And we actually went out like three times in 10 days to do like recreational stuff, you know, ice skating and sledding. It was really cold. We had, you know, three or four stretches where it didn't get above zero, and started the day. And I think one day we started at like 30 some below. So yeah, it's been a little nippy, but boy, what a great time. And just being here and being home and hanging out with the kids and all that. It was a wonderful end of the year, but I'm excited to be back. How about you?
Yeah, we had a pretty relaxing week or so. We went to Chicago for like a day, but otherwise most family just came to us, and otherwise, you know, hung out, watched a lot of movies, saw the new Star Wars, of course,
yeah,
and read some books, which I'll talk about in a little bit on this podcast, but that was my break. It was very, very relaxing, but I am also happy to be back in action.
It's funny because I told my wife this morning when I got up, because I wrote last night, which is what I like to do right at night. And I got up this morning and she said, you know, how'd it go? And I said, oh, it just feels so nice to write again. Spent like 3 weeks, you know, a couple of weeks at least since I've written anything. And it's like, oh yeah, it's really nice to do some creative, thoughtful writing. So yeah, it's always good to be back.
So the first thing that you published, and I know you have a lot more coming in the coming weeks, but the first thing you published today was a piece called Five Community Building Values for a Strong Town. This is really a back to the basics kind of article, which I think is helpful for people who are both new to Strong Towns and who have been reading us for and listening to us for a while. It's kind of highlights some really important principles that we hold to and hope that our towns will hold to if they want to be strong.
Yeah, I think we've realized just with the quickness that our audience is growing, you know, not only do we have hundreds of thousands of new people who are tuning into us that a year ago were not here, right? We're not part of our audience. But they don't have the luxury of having been part of this conversation for years the way we have. And there's a lot of times when I think we just cruise right past them. So we're making a concerted effort, and I started with this piece today, making a concerted effort to kind of go back and reiterate and restate in different ways. I mean, it's not just rerunning old stuff, but actually kind of update and refine some of those kind of core principles. So yeah, I started today with our five core principles of a strong town and wrote them out as a checklist of sort. Here are the kind of questions you should be asking yourself when you're looking to take action. You know, are you doing the math? Have you really figured out you know, the implications of this financially, not only how you're going to build it, but how you're going to take care of it? Is what you're doing, you know, incremental? Is it the next step? Is it, you know, I go through all the principles that we've set out and kind of frame them as questions that people can ask. And my hope is, as you know, public officials, as professionals, as people advocating for changes in their community, start to look at the things that they have on their to-do list for 2018, they'll take a minute and go through this. And I think it will dramatically affect what they think is a good project and what they think is something that maybe they should put lower on the urgency scale.
Yeah. And I want to highlight that I think that these concepts are especially valuable because they apply not just to a professional who is, you know, a mayor or a staffer in a local government. These are things that any of us can ask and consider about our towns. I mean, some of the specifics about, you know, debt and return on investment might take some calculations, but they're all really basic questions that all of us can assess and consider. So I think that's important.
Well, I think that's the power of them too. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but you know, having done this kind of work for years for cities, to step back and actually realize, like, we don't ask them very basic, fundamental things. You know, like some of these questions are almost too obvious to state, maybe. Mm-hmm. And because they're too obvious to state, we often don't even ask them. I think being intentional about that is a really important first step towards becoming a strong town.
So another exciting thing that we rolled out today and announced this morning is a tool that will help you, we hope, build strong towns where you live. This tool is, it's kind of a fancy word, but it's just a map that we put together. And it highlights all of the different places around the country and around the world where people are having strong towns meetings, conversations, gatherings, and actions to implement our principles and our mission. So if you head to strongtowns.org/local, you will find that map and you can see what's happening in your community. Or if there's not something happening in your community, you can get some ideas for how you could start that and make that happen. These are all really simple, easy opportunities to engage in. They're not like things you have to apply for, or many of them aren't, you know, having regular meetings or anything like that. These are ways that you can engage with people in your community to discuss and hopefully implement Strong Towns ideas, however it works best for you.
I've had people for years ask me, Chuck, could you put together some tool where I could find all the people around me who are interested in strong towns? Mm-hmm. And early on, I mean, years ago, this is our 10th year now that I've been doing this. We're just starting our 10th mm-hmm. year. When I go back to the beginning, like the idea of doing this was absurd. I mean, I'm like, you know, there's not enough people to have a critical mass to do this. There's enough people now. Mm-hmm. And I think technically one of the questions that we struggled with was how to do this in a way that was respectful of people's privacy. Yeah. People have wanted access to our database, you know, give us your email list, show me all the people that you know, are around me, let me contact them and set up a meetup group. And it was always like, you know, that it's really when people sign up to get information from us, that's really not what they're signing up for. But we know a lot of people would really enjoy that. And so there was always this balance between how does this make sense? How do we respect people's privacy? How do we let people get together? Just the idea of just using existing technology, I mean, Facebook, mm-hmm. Meetup, Google Groups, places where people already are congregating, just to layer on some strong towns, local conversation onto that was a really logical next step. So the map is not really like a high tech kind of thing, but what it does is it takes the information that we have and it puts it out there in a way where if there's a local conversation going on, you can join it. And if there isn't one going on and you want to start one and we'll point people mm-hmm. towards it. And, you know, I think in a real kind of strong towns kind of way, this is the next smallest incremental step that we can do to help these conversations happen. And I'm excited because we released this thing like 3 hours ago, and I've already seen tons of interest popping mm-hmm. up on my screen of people asking to join groups that I'm in and be part of conversations that I've been part of. So I can see it already having an impact, and that's exciting.
Yeah. So head to strongtowns.org/local to see this map and start participating. So the last specific thing I wanted to talk about today was something that you asked of me, Chuck, at the end of the year. We had our little end of year review, and you gently suggested that I might benefit from reading a little bit more nonfiction in my life. And I agree with that, although I still love fiction. I'm not giving that up. But I took that to heart and I made a list of books that I want to read this year. I'm already like halfway through one that I started this past week that I happen to have on my shelf. So I'm looking forward to this new reading journey. Maybe I'll share some of the stuff on my list, but the thing I'm reading right now is a sort of an odd book. It's a biography written by someone that my family is tangentially connected to and about someone that my family is connected to. It's just two women that were in a concentration camp together in Germany who were previously communist sympathizers, and that's why they ended up in the concentration camp, although they ended up, you know, being very against communism in the end. So it's just kind of like their life story and the story of their friendship, which is really cool. Yeah. It's like my
What's the name of the book?
Uncle's mistress or something like that. It's called Milena. That's just her name.
Yeah.
So I'll post a link to that. The next book on my list that I'm looking forward to is one that was really big a few, like about 10 years ago, called Abraham, A Journey to the Heart of Three Faiths. And it's about Judaism, Christianity, and Islam in the Middle East and like their history and interactions and things. So that's what my list is.
I may read that one with you. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it was cool because when they released it in 2005, I think my parents were involved in this. They encouraged people to host like conversations with people of these three faiths, like just dinner conversations and stuff, or conversations at your church. So my parents were part of one of these in my neighborhood. So I was a bit too young to participate at the time, but now I'm excited for that. What have you been reading?
I did, you know, when I'm baking before Christmas, I do a lot of nonfiction. So I think I listened to like four nonfiction and read two more over the break, which is just fun, you know, cop and spy kind of books, just like fun stuff. I started last weekend, I started listening to an audiobook called Conquistador. Mm-hmm. It's about Cortez and Montezuma and the whole Aztec Empire. And I have to say, I kind of, you know, I had history like everybody else, and I'm not that old. By the time I had it, they were pretty clearly saying, like, you know, Cortez mm-hmm. is a pretty bad dude. You know, so it wasn't like, you know, Cortez, the hero conqueror or anything like that. But you get a sense from this book, a couple of things that have just been startling to me. First, Cortez was a really bad dude. I mean, there's no question about that. The Aztecs were kind of bad dudes as well. You know, you get a sense of how magnificent their, you know, cities and just entire empire was, but you also get a sense of how brutal mm-hmm. it was and just the oppression of all the people around, their capital and, you know, the human sacrifice involved and just all, just the very, kind of fascinating, I think we can say that at this point in history, looking back, you know, the fascinating mix of just sophistication and really kind of backward religious practices. It's absolutely astounding. And then you have this clash of these two kind of like epic civilizations. And I have to say, going through this book, there have been a number of times when I'm said, like, how in the world, because I know how it ends, I'm like, how in the world does Cortez get out of this? You come over a ridge and there's 100,000 Aztecs like spread out over the plain and you've got, you know, 400 guys with you. Like, how do you get out of this? And it is really, really a crazy book. I find like every chapter to just mm-hmm. be astounding. And I'm so thankful that I read this because it's been eye-opening. One of the things that astounded me is that, the Aztecs wanted to, weren't interested in killing the Spaniards. They wanted to capture them because they thought that by capturing them, then they could sacrifice them to their gods mm-hmm. and go through the whole like ritual thing. And what happened is that they fought differently because of that. If they had just been interested in just like killing them and winning, they could have like done that early on, like very easily. But they didn't. And it wound up like basically giving Cortez like nine lives when he should have only had one. So just like little idiosyncratic things like that creates a whole new context for me for an event that yeah, I got probably two paragraphs and maybe 10 minutes of lecture on growing up. And now I've got this book and it is fascinating. It's a really good
book. I was going to ask, well, you just said during your baking, but what other times do you read or listen to audiobooks? Because that's what I always struggle with. Like, I don't have a commute. I don't have, I guess you have a lot of hours in the car driving to the Minneapolis airport when you're doing events. I don't have that usually.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you like read in the evenings or in the morning or like while you're eating lunch or something?
Yes, and yes, all of the above.
Okay.
So I think like for me, there's two times every day when I do read. The first one, I sit and physically read every night before I go to bed. Mm. A lot of people, like my wife, exercises every day. I wish I exercised every day. I don't. I try to as much as I can, but I don't every day. She does like every day does stretching and what have you. Every day I do half an hour to an hour reading. And I just do it before I go to bed. And the funny thing is like, it's such a part of my routine. Even if I find myself staying up to like 2 or 3 in the morning, I will sit down and read before I go to bed. I just do. It's part of what I do. And so I'm spending time. I also just like, I carry around my Kindle with me and I just steal a little bit of reading time whenever I can.
If you're like waiting in line at post office or something like that, or picking things up.
Yeah, I'm going to, I'm going to go have lunch right now and I will read a little bit during lunch. You know, things like that. I also, I do a lot of audiobooks. I do two or three audiobooks a month and I just do those, as time allows. Yeah. I listen when I go to the airport and back. You know, when I'm traveling, I listen to audiobooks a lot. But I will find that like, you know, if I'm doing stuff around the house, I put on my headphones and I just have a book going.
I do that with podcasts. I got to make more room in my life for books, I guess.
And I think, you know, the thing with audiobooks is that you just, to me, I kind of put my podcasting on hold for a while and get into a good book. But I do nonfiction on double speed. And I mean, yeah, double speed. You can get through a 16-hour book in 8 hours. That's like, 2 days, 3 days. I take long walks too. I mean, the exercise that I do is I do take long walks and oftentimes I'll walk like thinking about something, like I got something I'm working on and then I won't listen to anything or I'll listen to like a YouTube video or something that is like in a similar vein to kind of get my mind going. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I just walk with books, you know, just listening to an audiobook and I'll walk for an hour and just like listen to something. And so, I think at times I annoy my wife because, you know, I'll be downstairs. Like this weekend I was cleaning up something downstairs and, you know, she would come down and talk to me and then, oh, you're listening to something. Like, yeah, sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
You got spousal relationship things you got to be cognizant of. But beyond that, I mean, I don't know. Like I run to Target or the grocery store and grab something for her. You know, I will be like, okay, it's a half an hour of listening time. You know, get an hour a book done. So
all right.
I try to just
those are good ideas.
I try to. I'm just obsessive about it, and so I sneak it in like as often as I can. You know.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I just ran to the office and back to check the mail and grab my podcasting gear. Mm-hmm. I got like 15 minutes of a book, you know?
Yeah.
This is like, I just do it all the time. It's just something that I kind of am obsessive about it. So I just do it like all the time. Yeah.
Cool. Well, that will wrap us up for today. Chuck, thank you for being a guest on my podcast.
Hey, I'm happy to be here anytime I can.
All right. Well, take care, everyone. Have a great week and thanks for listening.
We need your help. If you think the Strong Towns message is important, don't keep it to yourself. Pass it on. You can get more information and sign up to be a member of Strong Towns at strongtowns.org.